Tom.
I'm Mike.
And you're listening to
Yesterday's Parties. We rehearsed that so well.
Yeah.
All Yesterday's Parties, the podcast where we talk about music in a really shit fashion.
Yeah.
And John makes camp faces at beer. you can't really appreciate what just happened then, but it's quite marvellous.
Sorry.
I was waiting for an ooh.
Oh my god! I must have looked like a 2-month-old eating cake for the first time.
A little bit,
yeah. We are in King Street Studios in Newcastle-under-Lyme. We are going to be talking about another 3 acts on the Safe as Milk Festival billing.
Mm.
This is since that they announced a further 17 acts that will be playing at the festival.
Not since the last episode that we did, which you've obviously just listened to.
Yes.
But since the...
Or didn't.
Or you might have listened to it a week ago.
You might...
Or not.
Whatever. But yeah, so the 17 acts are released since the original big load of acts, what they released. And we're talking about those 17.
Yeah.
But before we do any of that, John...
Yes?
Let's talk about the beers that we've got.
Let's...
But not the beer that Matt's got, because he's driving today.
He is driving.
Boo.
That was amazing. So, I picked up something from the Titanic Brewery.
A local brewery, John.
It is a local brewery.
Oh, Jesus. Gordon's got something to interject.
There isn't a grocery.
I can't drink. Because I drove to your house.
Oh, God. Right. We'll put you up on the sofa until...
I might just pop around and have a couple of coffees. So I picked up the Cherry Dark, which is by the Titanic Brewery, which, as Mike said, is local. Mm. And the reason I made a face is because this is delicious.
It is delicious. I had it at a beer festival once, and it's bloody gorgeous.
You don't initially get the cherry.
No. It's like with the plum porter of the same beer house. It's... You get a nice deep beer, and then you get the fruity flavours coming in on the aftertaste,
and that's really, really nice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a fan of that.
Can't recommend the plum porter enough. It's just good stuff, whether on draft or bottled, to be honest.
Absolutely, it's all good.
It transitions to being bottled well, which some things just don't translate as well from draft to bottle.
You are
like banana bread.
Yes.
I only ever had that once on draft, and it was so much better, it's ruined the bottled version for me.
Yeah. So, Gordon has...
He's had one that both John and I have had before.
Yeah.
The Neapolitan Stout.
Mm.
What are you making of it, Gordon? And pull yourself a little closer to the microphone this time.
It smells like the ice cream.
Yes. How does it taste?
It tastes like the ice cream. Mixed with stout.
which is literally what it is.
Yeah.
Well, the funny thing about these kind of drinks is that they smell like they sound, but taste like every other one that I've had, to start with.
And then you start noticing things later. You have like a couple of mouthfuls, and then you realise that there is actually a bit more to it than you initially thought.
Yes. But as I say, this will be the last one that I have, so I just realised I am driving.
Fortunately, quite a bit later.
Oh, yes, for any police. we don't encourage drink driving.
Oh, dear Mr. Sting!
Good Lord, we of course do not encourage drink driving at all.
No.
Now, I walked here and will be walking home again. I'm drinking Common Grounds by Magic Rock. Yes, it's another one.
Common Grounds. I don't suppose that there is a coffee theme to this.
There is a coffee theme. This is another one of the ones that should have been delivered to me by UK Mail, but they failed to, so I picked it up from another source. And it's a triple coffee porter. So yeah, it's made with 3 different types of coffee.
Wow.
And it is.
Can you taste the difference between the types of coffee that are used? No.
But what I can
Does
taste...
it matter that it's made with 3 different types of coffee in reality?
Not especially.
Just
to
out
me.
Of interest. This
not
is,
to me.
This is not a criticism.
I've had coffee beers before that have been very nice. This is. I've had ones that have tasted maybe a bit more like a cappuccino or something like that. In fact, there's a really nice cappuccino stout you can get from Marks and Sparks. Mm. This tastes. This is like the espresso of beers. is the coffee flavour is really strong. It's very potent, but then it's got a lovely deep porter going on in the background as well. It's very, very nice. And I expect this will give me a nice little energy buzz for future recordings.
Oh, God.
Huzzah!
Excellent.
I'm very glad that I went to the effort to pick this up, since UK Mail couldn't be asked delivering it to me. Twats.
That's UK Mail.
It is, it's because it's the same brewery. All of their beers have these little kind of cartoon monsters on them. They're really cute. Mm. There you go. Yeah. You'll be seeing more of those later, because all the beers I brought with me are Magic Rock Brewery.
Excellent, excellent. So now, on to the music.
Bizarre. Well, when we were discussing these bands over Facebook whilst preparing for this podcast, there were two that caused me problems. One of them was Blank Mass. Yep. Was kept on auto-correcting to Black Mass, as you expect.
Which resulted in Gordon listening to Satan's music.
Yes. And the other one was what my phone was adamant was called Birthday Surfers. So, well, in actual fact, the ever-popular alternative band from the 80s and 90s, Butthole Surfers.
Yes.
So, just to give you a little bit of an amble here, the pre. We all know just how weird US independent rock was capable of getting in the 1980s. And we've all been riding the wave ever since. At the vanguard of this morass of altered eccentricity were that tripped-out Texan troupe Butthole Surfers, formed by Gibby Haynes and Paul Leary in San Antonio, and soon breaking all sorts of boundaries, both geographical and musical. Like many others, they arose among the angst and euphoria of the hardcore punk scene and bust out of that genre's occasionally restrictive stylistic shackles to create something truly bananas that simultaneously lauded and laughed at classic rock and took psychedelic excess to new heights, or lows, depending on your perspective. Now, not only have I saved that little thing from the Safe as Milk website,
yeah.
I also have a little cutting from an article on Noisy. Because back in the day, when I was a young metaller, there were certain bands and certain members of those bands that were spoken of in quite hushed tones due to their fairly manic behaviour. I mean, people like Mike Patton, yeah, who used to like to shit in hotel hairdryers, and the Dwarves, who did everything mental. Including their member, He Who Shall Not Be Named, who wore...
Voldemort?
No, the original He Who Shall Not Be Named, this one.
Tom Riddle?
No. He wore a wrestling mask, a Mexican wrestler's mask, and nothing else.
Lucha.
At all times. he was a skinny little fellow, basically. Yeah, was whenever Kerrang went to interview dwarves, they would bring a pair of silver pants.
Turtles.
Shut up! They would bring a pair of silver pants for him to wear
for the photos.
Just so he was wearing something other than his luchador mask.
Yeah.
So there you go. But yeah, Gibby Haynes of Bottle Surface was one of the other ones that everyone was like, oh shit, what's that guy up to this time?
Yeah.
And yeah, I've just got a couple of cuttings from this Noisy article. It's an interview with people who were part of the band and also would tour with the band.
Mm.
And a couple of little things just stuck with me when I was reading it. Just one little quote here. They sprinkled LSD on their cornflakes every morning, which was then washed down with Johnny Walker Red. Beer for lunch, lowly Mexican dirt weed smoked in bone-dried bongs for dinner, and then 2 hours of coughing fits and another bowl of LSD an hour before showtime. By that, yeah, that was their standard pre-gig ritual.
How does anyone function?
This one was one of my favourites.
Practice.
In the late 80s, they had Kathleen Lynch with all of them. Basically, she was a dancer who would typically perform in the nuddy.
Yeah.
And some reason, Butthole Surfers were assigned to do an all-ages gig. And apparently there were assurances that there would be no nudity.
Yeah.
But then here's this little paragraph. Despite assurances of no nudity for this particular show, Lynch's breasts were soon out, as was Leary's penis, which he swung around maniacally. Kids were screaming and crying, and parents that brought their children were incensed as Hayes purportedly howled things from the stage, such as, Don't you hate it when your dad walks in and you have a wine bottle up your ass? But it wasn't until yes. Haynes literally set himself on fire that the plug got pulled by the frantic venue owner. Chaos continued as Haynes threw alcohol on bouncers or anything else that tried to stop him or get in his path, clutching a lighter in the other hand, ready to ignite them in a snap. All the while, the roof was slowly smouldering from every cymbal thwack covered in rubbing alcohol that sent more flames shooting across the room. Fire extinguishers came out as people stormed the stage to stop the band. The venue kicked everyone out, and riots of theft and equipment ensued as the mayhem spilled out into the street.
I like to think that as the gig ended, Haynes just shouted into the microphone, "Stay in school, kids!"
Yes. Ask a question.
I think that's perfectly reasonable, given
what. Why would people take their kids to see the butthole surface?
It was just butthole surface, Gordon. Don't embarrass yourself.
I was referring to...
That was a little callback to a couple of episodes.
Yeah, you do it! But it's like when you call bands like The Nirvana, you know, as opposed to like Other Nirvana.
There are two Nirvanas, though. That's...
Well, there's the Enlightenment.
No, I mean bands. There's two bands called Nirvana. A British band, I think, from the 70s were called Nirvana. Ooh, and then, of course, there's the popular one from the 90s.
So did the original get...
And the one with Kurt Cobain in it.
Yeah.
That's the same.
And was it... What was your question, Gordon?
Why would parents take children to see the butthole.
Birthday surface. Maybe it was autocorrect, but like in the 80s, that 80s version of autocorrect. Oh, birthday surface. They sound fun.
It's just staggering, isn't it? A band with that sort of...
Name. Just that name.
Well, just the name. But I mean...
Do you want to play an all-ages game?
Yeah, right. But with the stories that go...
Of course you're going to agree to that if you've had a breakfast of a bowl of LSD.
Yeah, sure, play a gig for kids. We're not going to take our clothes off.
I've got a wine bottle up my ass. It's all good, mate. It's all good.
I wondered why he wasn't sitting down while we were having the discussion.
He's in the drum, was
he? He's got like a wine bottle just on the drum stool on the throne. Just got like a little sort of indent in it that fits a wine bottle.
Oh, dear me.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
But yes, after all of that, I listened to... I listened to Locust Abortion Technician and Independent Worm Saloon, which are regarded as two of their classics by many people. Mm. I'd encountered them a little bit before that. I'd heard a couple of songs here and there. Mm. I actually owned the single Pepper, yeah, which is one of their big 90s tunes, which, yeah, I absolutely adore that tune so much. Yeah, but I thought I'd get some of their earlier stuff.
I forgot that was them.
Yeah.
That song, yeah.
Locust Abortion Technician is late 80s, Independent Worm Saloon early 90s.
Yeah.
So it's all kind of in their mid period. And I absolutely bloody loved every minute of it. Because they kind of got tied in, like a lot of weirdos at the time, like Melvins, things like that. They kind of got tied in with the grunge thing because Kurt Cobain liked them.
Yeah.
But they weren't grunge. They were more of a sludge rock, a little bit stoner, sometimes even a bit of dooms, occasionally a little bit of folk. Yeah. And very, very, very weird.
Yeah.
And I dug that so much. Loved it. But yeah, how did someone else feel? Someone such as Gordon.
Well,
lean forward.
I was thinking, have I heard of... I've heard of them, but I was wondering if I've heard them. Mm. And the only thing that my mind
hopefully
going
have.
Back to was an episode of Friends where they were talking about them, and that kind of put me off really listening to them because I thought, well, if Ross likes it,
there is no way Ross likes Butthole Surface.
if you go back to season one or two, well, I forget which episode, so you have to watch all of them.
I have a feeling that they were mentioned.
They were by Ross. I just said to you. I just said. Anyway, what?
You can't remember which episode it was.
Oh, you know,
you shat in my sandwich.
So, I had a YouTube, and the first one that came up was Pepper, and I listened to that, and I thought, oh, yes, of course.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How very mid-90s.
It is, mid-90s.
But, it was I never actually knew it was them, but I knew the song. A bit more digging, and I found a 1984 live show with them and the Beastie Boys, which was pretty awesome. although I kind of mostly watched the Beastie Boys section. And they had a female drummer, interestingly.
The Beastie Boys?
Beastie Boys. I didn't know that in the early days. In the more punk hardcore aspect, but different band. And yeah, the stuff that I heard, it kind of ranged from obviously the more hardcore stuff, which is more my bag, using old words to describe things.
Groovy.
Indeed.
Strong message here. Oh,
yes. Sick.
far out.
Okay. And all the way to almost guarish type of sound, but then also a little bit more modern new punk, which isn't my sort of thing either. So quite a range in styles, really, from the stuff that I listened to. Couldn't tell you what any of it was, because I really wasn't paying that much attention. Is this helpful?
Dear.
Largely not.
Ultimately, yeah, I'd watch him.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
John?
Yeah. Like,
yeah, well, it wasn't instrumental electronic at the very least, John.
So it had that going for it straight away. As I said just now, I didn't realise. I forgot that Pepper was by them, and also Dracula from Houston. Is it?
Yes, Dracula from Houston.
That song actually featured in an episode of Scrubs.
One of their tunes has been on the Romeo and Juliet soundtrack. I think in the kind of thing, mid to late 90s, they kind of ingrained themselves into a more mainstream consciousness, partly because of Kurt Cobain liking them. It happened to quite a few people. Some made a career out of it, others kind of had a moment in the sun and then disappeared again.
I think
Bottle Surfer followed the kind of Sheridan Knife thing of kind of popping up, going, hey, we're popular now, and then disappearing again and only being liked by the people who loved them in the first place.
Yes, yeah.
Kurt Cobain liked Moby before he was Moby. What was that band he was in?
I know Moby was a bit of a hardcore punk, first of all, wasn't he? Because he revisited that on the Animal Rights album.
But it's good, like Gordon was just saying, there's a huge variety of styles, and all of it I really liked.
What did you listen to, John? Or was it just the a top hit?
It was a top five of Spotify, but I actually ended up going beyond the top five, because it will keep playing the top rated songs after you get past the fifth one. In this particular set of episodes, I can judge how much I enjoyed the act by how far past the top five I went.
Yes.
I liked the more energetic, sort of rocky punk parts of their oeuvre, but also the more sort of trancey, chilled out, like Pepper, for example. It worked as a style, and I thought they were really good, and whatever they do in their show.
Really?
Waving his penis maniacally, John. Maniacally.
I think their show and whatever, they did not think you wanted the sentence.
just to add to that, I will be watching from quite a distance. I'm quite happy not to be at the front.
You're going to stay out of dick reach.
I'm quite happy not to be at the front, but whatever they do should be entertaining.
Yeah.
Wasn't that a town in Game of Thrones?
Dick reach.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
A towel. I don't know, I haven't watched Game of Thrones. I've seen all the spoilers on the internet.
But what did you think of a birthday service?
I'd never heard Pepper before.
Did you not?
No, never.
Short time.
Didn't grab me either. So I intended to listen to the top played tracks on Spotify, but somehow I managed to leave it in shuffle. Which meant that I got some very odd tracks that I really didn't like. and then I did listen to the top ones. And yeah, it's not quite... it's another thing that's not quite... I don't quite get it.
It'd probably be better to actually listen to one of their albums.
Yeah,
I would recommend it.
Yeah, I think I need to do that.
Perfect entry point for them.
But we had a lot to get through, and there wasn't enough in the stuff that I did listen to make me go, I'm going to prioritise listening to more of this because I like it. I've listened to enough to make me go, meh.
Things that make you go, meh.
I
You've been right. quite negative, Nancy.
I am.
All my morning.
No. Just you wait. In a few weeks' time, I will be happy. Very happy.
Marvellous.
I'm just not there yet.
By weeks, you mean hours, don't you?
Well, hours to us, but to Gary.
Or dogs.
Or dogs.
Yeah, it would be weeks for dogs. Dog hours.
Those poor puppers. I'm not averse to listening to some more. I'll probably listen to some more beforehand, but I didn't feel the need to prioritise it any higher than I did in all of this stuff we needed to get through.
Yeah.
It was all right. I haven't got much more of an opinion than that. I don't want to see maniacal dick waving.
Name your sex tape.
He said he does.
Yeah.
You're obviously not doing it right.
Yeah.
Now we've had some birthdays. I can't stop calling them birthday surfers now. I didn't even mean to do that. And now we've had some butthole surfers. Time for the next act. Cloud becomes your hand. Here we go from the Save It More website. Cloud becomes your hand at full flight can sound like some unholy union between Kevin Ayres and the Cardiacs. You like it, then, don't you, John? Like it, Cardiacs?
They've stepped on my notes.
No mean feat, and no doubt sounds like a dream combination for many of you attending Safe as Milk. Loopy melodies and densely meandering compositions are coated in bitches brew synths, driving rhythms, and ping-pong vocal interactions that summon hard prog rock and manic pop all at once.
No.
Pardon me. I can feel that little belt building up all the way through. I didn't just want to honk halfway through sentence. So, Matt... Cloud becometh.
I really liked them. Well, I quite liked them. I just felt I needed to undo my negativity. I listened to Rest in Fleas, and I really enjoyed Rest in Fleas, particularly a track called Garden of the Eight, and I enjoyed Bridge of Ignorance Returns. It was a good record. I enjoyed it. It was overlapping kind of elements of kind of bubblegum type hooks mixed in with this kind of swirling prog thing, as it says. What. I really liked it. I'm looking forward to it. Yay!
Cool, John.
One thing, does the website say The Cardiacs?
It did say The Cardiacs.
Because it's Cardiacs.
Embarrassed themselves.
They've embarrassed themselves. It's Cardiacs.
Yeah.
But what did you think of The Cloud Becomes Your Hand?
They were brilliant. The first thing I thought, the first track I listened to, Hermit, and there's some really interesting chord progressions in all their music, which is the first thing that put me in mind of Cardiacs, because they've said in interviews in the past that they really dig interesting chord changes. And so that was the first thing, and I thought, this is very Cardiacs-esque. The second thing was quite abstract lyrics that don't seem entirely connected to one another. And again, the first thing I thought was that they must have been quite influenced by Cardiacs. Really lively sound, musically excellent, and I would love to watch their show. I thought they were fantastic.
Thank you, John. Gordon, would you care to lean forward and give us your opinion?
They were quite fun and English.
Fun and what?
English.
That's English, but they're from Brooklyn.
Yes.
Okay.
That's why something can sound English.
Because
English,
it was very...
What, by going... Bloop, bloop,
bloop, bloop, in many
racism.
Respects, there were songs that I listened to that were reminiscent of Piper at the Gates of Dawn.
I suppose, early Floyd...
Kind of
tea-ish. Psychedelic.
Yeah, yeah.
Early psychedelic.
Mm.
And again, I listened to that Rest in Fleas
I like the title.
Album.
Yeah.
It's a
liked
key title.
The,
yeah.
I like the artwork.
Yes.
Mm. I nearly listened to that, but yes. I didn't. But you'll hear more about what I listened to later.
The suspense is killing me.
I can tell.
Yeah.
Have you done, Gordon? I thought you had more to say.
No. No, no, I don't.
Right. Okay. Listens to the
no, 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 wait. Pause. Timing.
go.
I listened to the self-titled "Cloud Becomes Your Hand" album. It was a little pay what you want thing on.
Bang.
Yeah, the fuck yeah! He knows it. And though I listened to something different from the rest of you, I came to much the same conclusions. Mm. What I wrote on my notes here was charmingly eccentric old psych pop, frolicked in the same ball pool as Animal Collective and Flaming Lips, but not exactly like either.
Mm.
And yeah, I think that basically concurs with pretty much everything else you've said.
Yeah.
And I'd be well up for a bit of it.
Yeah.
They seem like a charming bunch of fellas.
Great.
They make charming music.
Yeah.
So yeah, more of that, please.
There is a band I would be happy to be at the front for.
In dick waving distance. Probably because those dicks are going to remain well shackled by some nice corduroy pants.
Yeah, but I might wave mine.
All right.
Can we go to a different festival?
Well, should you just tell him the wrong address?
Yeah.
Keep telling it's Canvas Sands, you know.
We just won't pick him up.
Yeah.
We can all fit in one car then.
Yeah, brilliant.
Cool.
You just did the sting then with a warning anyone, didn't you?
I did, yes.
We forgot that you've got power.
Everybody
willingness to abuse it.
Everybody forgets.
Anyway, on to the last one. And this time, this one actually does have a definite article. This is The Cosmic Debt.
Woo!
Thanks, Gordon. This Glaswegian quartet have been drenching towns and cities across the UK. And
don't want to be at the front for that one.
In psychedelic gunge.
I don't want to be at the front for that one.
Since 2010. God almighty, they must be up to their knees in psychedelic guns now.
Like a hagfish, where it's just buckets of psychedelic guns.
Gibby Haynes would love that, wouldn't he?
Yes.
He'd love a gobful of psychedelic guns.
Oh, inadvertent stage invader.
Hey, Gibby Haynes with a funnel up his rectum.
Put it at me!
Oh, God. Earning themselves a formidable live reputation in the process. Formidable? Compared to what we were talking about earlier? Or, as they put it themselves, continually exploring the outer reaches of psych rock, fusing auditory extremities into a single, all-enveloping web of stratospheric, riffing, otherworldly ambient and colourful cosmic textures.
Do they always express themselves in run-on sentences?
Yeah, apparently so. Run-on sentences that make me go all elephant, man. Meanwhile, the quietists describe the Cosmic Dead as like a careening, uncontainable torrent of buck-fast-powered cosmic chaos. Whatever your feelings toward the Scottish quartet synth was Shut Up John, Space Jam's on record, their performance is something like having Ken Casey and Spaceman 3 pour Iron Brew directly into your third eye.
All in all, I don't want to be at the front for that.
No.
Not as easy as it looks, is it?
Right, so I think I'm leading off on this one now, aren't I? Yeah. You get me.
In so many ways.
So, Cosmic Dad, I listened to Psychonaut, which I got off my account. It's a collection of demos and extended jams. I thought that would be kind of cool because that kind of thing, it's like a semi-live sound.
Yeah.
It'd be nice prep for what they sound like live. And it's got that kind of rambling, psychedelic, krautrock kind of vibe to it, which I love a bit of.
Yep.
Kind of got a great big spacey sound, very repetitive, and they kind of they'll fit into a groove, and they'll plough that groove. And then just kind of decorate it as they go along.
Yeah.
And that I love a bit of. So if I'm in the right kind of mood, this one, because you were talking about how a Sheep Noggy will be best in kind of an earlier song.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think these guys would be perfect for the kind of a couple of sets before the end of the day when you have had a few beers in you.
Yeah.
And you want something to kind of space out to a little bit.
Yeah.
Drink a beer and kind of go, yeah.
When you say late in the day, you mean like 11 o'clock or like 7 o'clock?
I think in kind of just after dinner, really. You know, you've got a nice belly full of food, a couple of beers.
But before the headline?
Before the headline. So like I was saying,
yeah.
A band or two before the headline.
So I agree.
If it was like a gig, there'd be maybe first support out of two support acts. I think that would be perfect for that kind of thing.
17 minutes past 8, maybe.
Yeah, 17 minutes past 8 pound.
That's stupid. Fuck's sake.
You're stupid. Your face is stupid.
No.
Go on. How stupid is Matt's face? Better than your mind is going
to go home. So no pressure.
I don't remember the first time that I listened to the Cosmic Dead.
No one listens to my face.
It was when I was listening to something else, I think. And it
you
was...
listened to two things at the same time?
No, it was on the same label as something else. I think it was a Slasher Dave thing. And they were on the same label. And I thought, ooh.
Is that all you thought?
I thought it was pretty good. And I listened to some more of their stuff and I was into it, really into it. It's, for me, it's what I like about it is that it's yes, it's got the space rock kind of thing as well, but there was a drum and bass tune quite a while ago called Messiah by Conflict. Mm-hmm. If you recall, if anyone here is a drum and bass fan from the early 2000s,
no.
It had a long but quite emotional build, and then when it hit, it really hit, and that I feel is what the Cosmic Dead do as well. When they rock out, as to coin another old phrase, they really go for it, and everything in between leading up to that point and following that, I am into it. I think they're great. Definitely, well, can't say it yet, but definitely.
Right, good.
So,
oh, what's a giveaway?
Gordon's a definitely, John. What are you?
I am also a definitely.
Yay!
I've really enjoyed listening to a track called Anatta, which is the only track.
Anatta. I think that blanks are.
That blanks Anatta. No, it's two people having a conversation.
Anatta, not
Anatta. We're having Anatta.
Hi.
They were great. I mean, I've talked a lot about instrumentals. I think we've all talked about varying forms of instrumentals.
Oh, we have been on the talking last, about bands that are instrumental.
The last couple of weeks.
And more are coming.
But what I enjoyed about this is that it wasn't atmospheric background music. It's very attention grabbing because the drums are so intense and all the instrumentation around it is working really hard, and so it takes your attention really quite easily. What I've written down in my notes here, I put menacing, dark, brooding and intriguing.
Intriguing,
yeah.
You've just had that off the back of your beer.
I really enjoyed, because I mean, Anatta is, it's about, how long is it? It's about 15 minutes long, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's about right.
Yeah. But it doesn't feel like you're listening to a 15 minute long piece of music, because it's so well performed, it's so well recorded, and the arrangements are really good. And this is a band that I would quite happily watch. But like you say, you could really space out to it as well. You know, I mean, to be quite honest, what would be great is if they set up a load of deck chairs in front of the stage.
Hammocks.
And you just sat back.
Pillows.
And just let the music happen.
If someone could bring cocktails around, that would be great.
That would be champion. Yeah, yeah. I've got a feeling that they're going to... I remember when we saw the Heads at ATP. And it was just so loud that everything vibrated. These guys have got every potential to be that.
So that,
Matt.
I also listened to Anatta, all 15 minutes of it, and I like that kind of zoning out post-rock kind of vibe. Mm. I agree with exactly where you put it in the set and the timing. I think that would be lovely. That would be a nice build into the rest of the evening.
17 minutes past 8.
Not 17 minutes past 8. That's just stupid. And you know it's stupid, and I won't condone it.
Is it getting on the stage for quarter past to start at 17 past, or is it...
Oh, my God!
they'll need a couple of minutes just to kind of prepare themselves, or maybe start a slow build-up before everyone realises they've actually started playing.
It'll be like the Boredoms again, won't it?
Is it something?
Matter.
Be like Boredoms again.
5 minutes of yogic breathing before kick-off.
Yeah.
Can't believe I said the Boredoms again. Oh.
Anyway, Matt.
Lightning does strike in the same place twice.
Because
are you basically saying you enjoyed them?
Yes, that's the summary.
Yeah. Excellent. Happy days. No. So, all of the days are happy.
These days are ours, yours and mine. Oh, these happy days.
So all that leaves is nothing.
Okay.
Apart from deciding. Oh, who's going to make us leave our lovely comfy chalet with Labradors and cake? And Nathan Fillion and other things that make us smile.
Yeah. Board games.
Board games. Good board games. Really good board games.
Public health intelligence data.
Oh, no. Good point.
maybe not
whilst we're at a festival.
And all outside is just mud, blood and fascists. And wine bottles up the arse.
And misinterpreting those statistics.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Ugh. Misinterpreted statistics are the
just
worst.
A fate
worse than death.
And no significance.
And a field full of psychedelic gunk.
Oh.
That we have to walk through to get to the venue.
Getting in your turnips.
I am bringing my boots. My wellies.
Your big welly boots.
Yeah.
To get through all that psychedelic gunk.
Yeah.
Fog wellies.
So, which of those three bands, Matthew... would you be braving the gunk for?
Cloud Becomes Your Hand.
Cloud in Your Hand? Okay. John?
Same.
Okay.
Cosmic Dead and Butthole Surfers.
You can't have two.
Pick one gun.
Cosmic Dead.
Well,
Cosmic Dead.
Yes. It's going to be Butthole Surfers for me. I want to see some flaming cock.
Good.
Right.
Episode title.
But yeah, all three of those bands, though, are genuinely good.
Yep. For me,
I'd be up for seeing any of them.
For me, this is the strongest group.
You're wrong, and terribly ugly.
Damn, son!
It's not the strongest group at all.
That came
and the podcast before you start crying.
Came out of left field. Thanks for listening.
I'm so sorry.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We're on Twitter at AYP Podcast. We're on Tumblr at AYP Podcast. And you can find all yesterday's parties on Facebook.
And we're on stage at 8:17.
Cancelled. Thanks, Barry. How the fuck did you get involved again? Shit, lost my thread. Right, so we'll see you next week for more Safe as Milk tomfoolery. You have been listening to All Yesterday's Parties.
Yay!
And the music that you're listening to is by Attack of the Vapors.
And the podcast is hosted by Audio
Boom.